Think about the last time you made a spontaneous decision, maybe booking a last-minute trip or saying yes to an impromptu night out. How did it feel? Exhilarating? Terrifying? Your answer reveals something fundamental about who you are. We often assume personality is a vague concept, something we invoke when describing someone as outgoing or moody. But what if personality isn't just a collection of adjectives? What if it's a biological reality written into the architecture of your brain? Research over the past 3 decades has transformed personality from a soft science into a robust field with measurable dimensions that predict everything from career success to relationship satisfaction. The breakthrough came through identifying 5 core traits that appear consistently across cultures, ages, and measurement methods: extroversion, neuroticism, conscientiousness, agreeableness, and openness. These aren't boxes we fit into, but continuous spectrums along which we all fall, creating unique combinations that shape how we navigate the world. Here's a puzzle that stumped scientists for decades. If natural selection favors optimal traits, why hasn't evolution produced one best personality? Shouldn't we all have converged on the perfect balance of caution and boldness, ambition and contentment? The answer lies in the Galapagos finches, where Darwin observed different beak sizes on different islands, but also substantial variation within each island's population. This variation persists because environments fluctuate. What works brilliantly in one context becomes a liability in another. Downstream guppies with predators evolve heightened vigilance, constantly scanning for danger. Upstream guppies without predators become relaxed. But vigilance has costs. Hyper-alert fish spend less time feeding and reproduce less successfully without predators. Great tits show similar patterns. Fast explorers survive harsh winters by aggressively competing for scarce food, but their aggression becomes counterproductive in abundant years. Your personality works the same way. It's context-dependent, not inherently good or bad. Aggression might secure resources but damage relationships. High sensitivity might increase stress vulnerability but enable deeper connections. We maintain personality diversity because different types succeed in different circumstances, like a diversified investment portfolio. Evolution never gives something for nothing. Every trait carries advantages and liabilities that shift value depending on environmental demands. Extroversion isn't just about being sociable. It's about how intensely you respond to potential rewards. Extroverts experience stronger surges of joy, desire, and enthusiasm, with brain imaging revealing higher metabolic activity in their reward centers. Genetic studies link variants of the D4DR gene, affecting dopamine transmission, to extroversion levels. This reward sensitivity drives extroverts towards status, novelty, romance, and risk-taking. They form relationships quickly and often achieve higher social status. Evolutionarily, this meant more sexual partners and potentially greater reproductive success. But the same reward-seeking leads them into dangerous territory. They're more likely to engage in risky behaviors, experience accidents, and die younger. The optimal level shifts with context. High extroversion proves advantageous when resources are scarce or environments change rapidly, but becomes hazardous when stability matters most. In relationships, a high extroversion partner might drag their introverted spouse to exhausting parties, while the introvert's preference for quiet evenings disappoints their thrill-seeking partner. Neither is wrong. They're expressing different neurobiological realities. Neuroticism measures how easily negative emotions trigger: anxiety, sadness, guilt, anger. Think of it as your internal smoke detector's sensitivity setting, with high neuroticism individuals having detectors set to maximum sensitivity. The smoke detector principle explains anxiety's persistence. 99 false alarms beat missing one real fire. Your anxious ancestors survived through hypervigilance. People with short serotonin transporter genes flood emotionally faster, quickly spotting threats and catastrophizing setbacks. This reactivity underlies depression and anxiety, yet neuroticism offers advantages. While most people display unrealistic optimism, high neuroticism individuals inhabit a reflective, deliberational mindset, seeing problems in full complexity. This depressive realism proves valuable in professions requiring critical thinking, explaining why many great artists and philosophers were troubled souls. Everest climbers score significantly lower on neuroticism than average, yet face 1 in 10 mortality rates. Very low neuroticism can be as dangerous as very high levels. When paired with conscientiousness, the worrying temperament drives remarkable achievement through constant striving to prevent imagined disasters. Would you take $50 today or $100 next month? Your answer reveals your conscientiousness, the ability to delay gratification for better outcomes. Brain-damaged patients with frontal lobe injuries fail the Iowa gambling task spectacularly. Despite understanding the rules, they can't stop choosing immediately rewarding but ultimately losing options. Problem gamblers and substance abusers show identical patterns, suggesting a shared temperamental deficit. Brain imaging reveals conscientious individuals activate their dorsolateral prefrontal and orbitofrontal cortices more strongly during inhibition. Their braking systems work better. This explains why conscientiousness predicts occupational success across all professions. High scorers set more goals and actually achieve them. But excessive conscientiousness manifests as obsessive-compulsive personality disorder, where perfectionism becomes so consuming that nothing gets finished. Intriguingly, conscientiousness correlates weakly and negatively with intelligence. Smarter people tend to be slightly less conscientious because they learn early they can succeed without extensive preparation. Here's an uncomfortable truth. Agreeableness negatively predicts career success. Studies of nearly 4,000 business leaders found lower agreeableness correlated with higher income and rank. Creative success similarly correlates with low agreeableness, the ruthless prioritization of work over relationships. This creates a mate selection paradox. We desire both kindness, high agreeableness, and social success, often requiring low agreeableness, in partners. Yet agreeableness represents something uniquely human, our theory of mind, the ability to represent others' mental states. Unlike chimpanzees, humans develop this capacity around age 4, enabling us to donate blood, help strangers, and give without expecting return. Women consistently score higher in agreeableness than men by over half a standard deviation. Testosterone administration experimentally reduces empathetic behavior in women, suggesting biological influence. Evolutionary explanations propose women historically benefited from harmonious group membership, while men gained reproductive payoffs from status competition. This creates fundamental tension. Traits that make you a good person often conflict with those that make you successful in competitive domains. Allen Ginsberg's Howl exemplifies high openness, wild metaphors, norm-challenging themes, and perceptual experiences bordering on psychosis. This fifth personality dimension predicts artistic participation through permeable cognitive filters that enable unusual associations. Poets and artists score as highly on unusual experiences scales as schizophrenia patients, though they lack emotional flatness and social withdrawal. This double-edged trait enables creative connections while increasing vulnerability to psychotic-like disorders. High openness individuals excel at divergent thinking and gravitate toward exotic religions and paranormal phenomena, holding strong idiosyncratic spiritual beliefs rather than conventional religiosity. The trade-off is measurable. Increasing openness boosts both artistic potential and mental fragmentation risk. Your personality isn't destiny, it's your starting point. While trait rankings remain stable across decades, you control how you express them. High neuroticismus individuals can channel worry into preparation rather than paralysis. Low conscientiousness people can choose against the spin strategies, like alcoholics who abstain completely. High extroversion and openness individuals excel at self-promotion but may neglect deeper connections, while agreeable individuals bond naturally but might not assert themselves enough. Understanding your personality means making wise choices through self-knowledge, not attempting impossible transformations. You didn't choose your personality, but you can choose what you build with it.